Let's turn our attention now to the vaccine rollout, and in particular the plans to vaccinate a large number of people in the education sector, not just teachers, but people who work at schools as well. To talk about this, we're joined by Dr. Nicholas Crisp, Deputy Director General in the Department of Health. Dr. Crisp, welcome and thanks very much for your time. Before we go into the details of the education sector rollout, can you give us a sense, please, of the flow of vaccines to the country, whether they're arriving in the numbers that match the goals of the rollout? We had an analyst on earlier who said that there were concerns that, in particular, the Pfizer numbers weren't quite what we were hoping for.
Good afternoon, John. Good afternoon to the listeners. So I think everybody knows by now that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is more than a month behind where we were supposed to be with deliveries, and the reasons are well known and it's a global problem. The Pfizer vaccines have been delivered on schedule so far, and we have two other different purchasing mechanisms for Pfizer. So there are three different streams on three different contracts. The latter two are only about to kick in now, and that will ramp up our purchasing and deliveries of Pfizer. And, of course, the Johnson & Johnson is now starting to arrive. Last night, as the minister said this morning, the batch of 300,000 doses arrived from the United States. We're expecting another consignment next week and possibly even another one the week after that.
Take us through the mechanics of the rollout then to teachers and other people working in schools, Dr. Crisp. The one thing about rural South Africa is that it may not have lots of other things, but it certainly has lots and lots of schools, and they tend to be very far apart. Are those plans in place? Are you going to start urban first? What's the intention?
Okay, John, so the plans are to educate the people in the basic education sector in the major target is 10 days. Yes. There may be some mop-ups in the third week in some of the more remote areas, but the plan, the gist that has been put together by the provincial departments of health and basic education is a mass vaccination coordinated by the basic education department to agreed health sites over that period. So they will mostly be passing the people from the schools, school by school, to particular sites in an orderly fashion so that we don't create unnecessary congestion and thereby spread or events. So that's the gist. But the numbers are big.
Yes.
It certainly will end up being over 400,000 because we anticipate that some people will not want to be vaccinated or may not be. And we also anticipate, we know that some have already been vaccinated because they're over 60 and so forth. But the numbers are indeed big. So the first 300,000 doses of vaccine will be augmented by other doses that will arrive in the second batch in next week. So there will be enough vaccine to vaccinate this group. It covers teachers.
Yes.
And there are three different groups of teachers. Those who are employed in the public sector on the conditions of the Public Service Act. There are those who are employed as teachers in the schools, government schools, by the school governing bodies and paid for by the school governing bodies. So they're not on public service rates, but it does not include the SGBs themselves, as some people have asked us. And then the third lot is the teachers who work in the independent private schools. So that's the target.
Let me step away from the education rollout for a minute then, Dr. Crisp, and get some thoughts from you, particularly on what's going on in Gauteng, and Cape Town is seeing escalations. Other provinces are beginning to have difficulties as well. I get mixed reports, and because they're anecdotal, I don't have data. But on the one hand, we're hearing of people going to sites and they're being turned away, and we're still trying to find out reasons for that. Then we hear, on the other hand, of sites that are not particularly busy. Is this a moment now to consider saying, okay, if only just in Gauteng, let's do people 40 and above, given the state of the pandemic in this particular province?
Yeah, John, thanks. So it's obviously complicated, and different cities or parts of the rural South Africa are different in the way that they are both managing and experiencing the rollout of the vaccination. So there's no one answer to that. But generally, the system is designed that we open sites that are licensed to have the pharmaceuticals and the rest of the product that are required. There are staff at those sites. They are able to schedule according to the vaccines that are delivered to them and to the staff that are available at those sites. Some of those sites are private sites, and they are predominantly supposed to see the insured population. Others are public sites, and their objective is to see the uninsured population. We do know that in some places, insured people, particularly in the Western Cape, are going to the public sector sites and not to private sites. In fact, 40% of all the vaccinations in the Western Cape at this point are insured people in the public sites, which is a little bit distressing.
Yes.
But nonetheless, we are looking at opening more sites. It just wasn't viable with the flow of the vaccines that was available up to now. But now with the picking up of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, there's definitely the capability and capacity, as was always planned, to open sites for Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So things should improve quite rapidly now that that's what's happened.
So are we starting to reach a threshold where you've got everybody who was keen and now there's potentially a lull period where people who are either hesitant, just simply not on course to be vaccinated or flat out don't want a vaccine, are starting to cause a dip in the vaccination numbers? For example, what is your data from this week telling you on average how many vaccines have been administered countrywide?
Yeah, John, so other than Wednesday, where it was a public holiday and the numbers are down, yes. The daily vaccinations are in the order of 85,000 a day at the moment. And that it's not about vaccinations, it's about registrations and vaccinations. So what's happening is that there are slower and slower number of increased registrations in population over the age of 60, which I guess was to be expected. We were kind of hoping that there would be more. For instance, in Limpopo, it's well over 65% of that cohort of population is registered, whereas in Gauteng, we're not yet at 40% of that population that is registered.
Right.
So it's quite different, and it's a little bit counterintuitive as to who's registered. The challenge, of course, is then to get those who are registered vaccinated. And for people who are insured and have access to motor cars and a bit more mobile, it's much easier for them to get to vaccination sites, even though there are fewer sites, than it is for people who are uninsured and maybe have to travel long distance in rural areas. So each province has got different strategies depending on the community and the way that things are organized.
So I don't know. I'm not a numbers guy, and obviously you've got this data, but let me give you my intuitive feel, and you respond if you will, please, Dr. Crisp. As the number of sites has increased, I would have expected a much greater increase in the number of vaccinations per day. It seems we haven't moved that quickly from the mid-60,000s to the mid-80,000s, and when you look at the numbers that the president was talking about with some would say is customary optimism going forward, it seems that we're plateauing somewhere between 65 and 90 despite an increase in availability. Would that be a fair assessment?
No, we've deliberately constrained the distribution and allocation of vaccines because you have to keep the vaccine pipeline open the whole way. You can't get to a point where you put everything into your pipeline, finish it, and then sit and wait and see what's coming next. So we had constrained the supply of vaccine to the sites and to the expansion of sites so that we make sure we always have 7 days of vaccine in the pipeline from the beginning where we receive them until they arrive at the sites and are injected into people's arms. If you go to shorter than 7 days, you run the risk of certain sites running out of vaccine, and that then to get that going again is extremely difficult. And so that's been the problem up to now. And once there's more vaccine now, we are able to open up sites. And that's what we've been since we were sure that we were starting to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
And sorry, I did say last question, but I've got this from a listener. Please ask him about vaccine wastage. Not a single vaccine should be wasted. Leftover vaccines at each site should be given to younger people. Is stuff left over at the end of the day? And if so, what happens to it?
Okay, so in any vaccination program, there's always a little bit of wastage, and there are two different kinds of wastage. The planned wastage is where vaccinators are not successful in getting all six vaccine doses out of one vial.
Yes.
And that is a challenge that's related to the needles and syringes and the technique as the vaccinators learn to use a new vaccine. We hope that will improve over time. The second one is that vaccine vials do get damaged, and sometimes there are vaccines left at the end of the day. All vaccine sites have been asked to use all those vaccines at the end of the day, and that's where the walk-ins happen. So the idea of bringing everybody just as a walk-in to in an uncontrolled manner is it's dangerous because it creates super spreader events. It's irritating to the public because maybe they won't get a vaccine and they have to wait for the scheduled people before they are seen at the end of the day. But if there are five or six vaccines or two vials left at the end of the day, then each vaccine site will accept walk-ins or people who have phoned ahead and said, I haven't been scheduled, but please can I come and if I'm lucky, can I have a vaccine?
Thank you very much, Dr. Nicholas Crisp, Deputy Director General in the Department of Health. 21 past four, a little later than we normally do it, but I wanted to get as much of that vaccine info as we possibly can, and so we stretched that a little longer.